Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in again, once again, to our boardroom chats. You know, we get so many comments and compliments when I travel all over the world about the boardroom chats. They really enjoy them, and your glorious living, and the Faith to Facts. And they said, do some more. They like us to
We've been doing them a long time. This is number 312.
Isn't that a blessing of the Lord? Well, it don't look like we're going to stop because, you know, the Lord just keeps giving us more things to say and what to do. And it's just such a blessing. So thank you for tuning in. And I hope we are a blessing to you and that you learn something every time that you watch us. And, you know, they can go back and watch all these boardroom chats.
Am I correct? Oh, yeah. We get comments many times of people been binging on them. They listen to them one after another. Most of them are usually around 30 minutes. Sometimes we've gone longer, almost an hour.
Yeah, you're a lot longer than I am.
No, that's because you interrupt me when I'm interrupting you.
Oh, listen. But anyway, why don't you start with some wonderful testimonies?
Oh, that's a great idea. This one says...
What does it say?
George says, watching from Pakistan.
Pakistan.
Dorothy says, hello from Kenya. And Elena says, you're always on my TV in the Philippines.
You know, I have been wanting to go to the Philippines for years. I've never had a chance to go because I'm so busy. But one day, I'm going to show up in the Philippines. I'm going to do
it. Amen. I'm going to be with you.
Yes. Praise God.
Peace says, I think that's their name. Peace, thank you, Jesse and Kathy. My life changed because of your teachings. I would love to visit your ministry one day, watching from Zimbabwe. I love knowing that all the nations that are tuning in to the different things that we do.
You will. You know, just use your faith voice on that. On that trip to come here would
that's
be a
right.
blessing. That's our theme, you know, for 2026. And I don't care what part, what nation, where you live, you can come if you put your faith
on it. Instead of saying, I would love to visit, just say, I'm going to be there one day.
That's
I'm going. God's going to provide the resources
for it. He will do it. That's the kind of God we serve.
That's using your faith voice.
Amen.
Roy says, thank you for such wonderful and positive messages. As always, I also appreciate your book that I have read a few times, I Never Learned to Doubt. Such a fantastic title for a Christian book.
Well, I tell you what, it's a living title. I don't know nothing about doubt. Doubt's mental anemia. It's a form of atheism. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, but so I know nothing of doubt. And why would I want to learn that to start with?
Yeah, you know? It's a learned thing.
It's one of my best books I think I ever wrote. And I wrote a lot of books.
You say that about a lot of them.
I say, well, yeah, you know.
It's true, though. It's a great one.
What you
I
wrote?
I love it. I have some books.
I know. It's very, her books are very good. No, I'm just joking.
Well, it's because I spent so much time helping you
that's
with
really
your books
true. That's really
for
true.
Years. Praise. But that's okay.
You got good books, guys.
I do. Thank you very much.
What else you got there?
Benito says, amen. I love it. I'm proud to be a good doer of the word and enjoy doing it in Jesus' name.
Be ye therefore doers of the word. That's actually a scripture in the book of James.
Of course.
What
of
a blessing.
And said, from YouTube, someone says, amen. I'm so inspired to work the word in my seed. We receive your teachings with gladness. I love you. I love when you say there is no such thing as the prosperity gospel, only the gospel.
Hey, that's right.
So many great notes from this teaching. Thanks for these boardroom chats.
And the reason why I say that, you know, people are always trying to dissect the scripture. Why don't you just get the... Now, it'd be kind of stupid if you bought a pie and say, okay, I'm going to eat a little piece of crumb over here. Then I'm going to go across the pie and eat over here. And this has got most sweet on this side. And then, no, just eat the dadgum pie. You know, just enjoy it. And that's what the gospel is. It is just simply good news. So I don't dissect it at all. I believe in prosperity. I believe in faith. I believe in repentance. I believe in baptism.
Amen.
And all kinds of different. But I don't even fight people over baptism, whether you're baptized in Jesus' name or the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, they're three in one anyway, so it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't know why people do that, but they
the
just
devil
love
inspired,
to do that.
The devil inspires people to sow discord and to divide each other.
Amen. So
that's God wants us to walk together in unity
Amen.
And love. Even if we disagree, we can agree to disagree.
Well, he said come together in the unity of the faith. He didn't say the unity of doctrine, did he? So quit trying to get everybody together in the unity of doctrine. Just preach the unity of the faith, and the faith is Jesus Christ.
Now, some things are indisputable. Jesus did come. He died on the cross, and everybody that believes in him is born again. A lot of the other things we learn and we're growing in, but basic Christianity
is where it's at.
Agree on. This last one says, is named Uni, Brother Jesse, I'll be one of your 20,000 people giving $1,000. I receive the blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So they're using their faith voice, believing to be one of those 20,000 people that you said are going to give.
Well, I'm going to tell you what that is. What happens is people ask me all the time, when are you going to retire? And I don't think I'll ever will retire, I mean, you know, to do what, you know? Well, anyway, and I'll tell you why, because every time, and me and Kathy could have retired many, many years ago, at least 20, 25 years ago. And, you know, and then just, and you know, I don't know, go to Hawaii, suffer for Jesus, call it what you want. But every time, you know, when I finish projects, and God has given me some major projects, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of projects, not in 1 year, but over the 50 years of ministry. Anyway, to make a long story short, and now we got another, and what he's talking about right there is that we believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's $20 million. Now, that's a lot of money, but there's two projects that are going to eat the thing up like that. It'll be gone. None of it goes to us. The Lord said, you got two things, 20,000 people giving $1,000. That's a lot of money, $1,000. He said, but you also have a 20 million chunk giver, one coming. And I said, okay. And I thought, why, Lord? I want to explain why that man said that. It's because you have to learn to replenish.
I love that.
In other words, you use everything and then you replenish it for right. The next thing. See, so.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of your other book, which is another one of my favorites, probably another one of your favorites is Living Off the Top of the Barrel.
Living Off the Top of the Barrel.
You got to constantly replenish that barrel because it gets used up. So you want to keep living off the top.
Yeah.
Not always scraping out the bottom, even though God calls you to do projects and you use something from that barrel, if you think of it like that way.
You can work it spiritually, physically, and financially. If you live off the top of the barrel in your marriage, you'll always be happy. Now, what does that mean? Well, you share each other's interest. You do those kind of things, you know? Your wife should become your friend. Or your husband should become your friend. The Bible said a friend's thinking closer than a brother.
That's right. It's just meaning living in the overflow in every area of your life, being full and refilled.
Yeah. That's what that gentleman was talking about. And maybe you're one of those $1,000 givers. Whatever. 100% of us going toward those projects to reach people, change lives, one soul at a time. If you'd like to give, if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. I hope you do, because we've asked the Lord for every dollar given. They give us a soul into the kingdom. And these projects are soul-minded.
They are.
So you can go to jdm.org. There's a donate button there you can hit if you like. You can use PayPal if you want to use that. Or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. Or you can go to the free JDM app. That's the ones you like. And select the giving.
It's a great app.
It's a great app. Or you can do like I do. You can just mail a check in to the ministry by using the post office. Whatever you send. People say, well, I can't give $1,000. One day you will. You'll give more than that. I never forget when the Lord told me to give $100. I like to pass out, you know, $100. I mean, you know, that's a lot of money. And then $1,000. But why? I just kept sowing my seed, receiving my harvest, and always put him first. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. So thank you, partners, once again, for graciously supporting this mission. I know there's a lot of ministries out there, and I'm glad you're blessing them. But I know one thing about this ministry. This ministry is clean. There's no scandals in it whatsoever. Never have been. I know people lie about us because of prosperity or whatever. You know, there's always somebody mad at you about something. And you know, when I tell the truth, they get mad at me. I won't tell you the truth. I live in a nice house. I'll tell you all kinds of stuff. Sometimes it just irritates people because of jealousy and envy. But I'm giving God glory, and that's what it's all about. So be believing with us for that 20 million. We'll knock those two things out. Maybe Jesus will come and we can get out of here. Praise the Lord. And that's what it's all about. We want to talk about something that's really unique today. I really didn't know what to talk about. I actually don't study to get these subjects we talk about. I just let the Lord give it to us as we go in. But I've always said this statement, and so far it has come to pass. And I believe it will come to pass until the rapture of the church, or I go by the way of the grave. It's Psalms chapter 37. And I just truly love it. And it will bless you. And I like it out of the King James. It's a Psalm of David. And he says this, verse 25. I have been young. You know, Kathy, you were once young. I have been young. And now am...
Thank you for pointing that out.
And now am old. I'm not saying she is. She's older. Hallelujah.
Tread softly there.
Yes, tread softly. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, I have quoted that scripture for over 50 years. I've been saved, 52 years, I think it is. And I said, Lord, I don't want to ever see the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. And even till today, I have never seen it. Because now what it means is you got to understand what righteousness is. There are a lot of people born again, but they struggle with righteousness. They think they're not this and they're not that. But when you have an understanding of righteousness or righteousness of God, You will never be begging in any way, shape, or form whatsoever at all because of who Christ is in it. What do you think about that statement?
I love that David was using his faith voice.
Amen.
To declare something, but it was also looking back and see what he's seen. So when you know what God has done in the past, it should remind you of what he'll do in the future.
Amen.
So he had a great thing to rejoice about. He is, and the next verse says, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed.
That's it. That means your whole family, if you have children, they will be blessed. I love that statement, and I've quoted it so many times. And, you know, we're celebrating 50 years of ministry this year. And I thought, you know, let me just say it. In 1976, on January the 4th, it was the first week of January, I preached my first message, and it was such a blessing. Now, what's the odds of this happening? 50 years later, in January of this year, January the 4th, the same date, I preached my 50th year message. Now, that is such a blessing. What's the odds of that happening? And, you know, I can say it, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. In 50 years, and people say, have you ever thought about quitting? No. To what? You know? How about backsliding? No. To what? I preached a sermon probably 40 years ago. What in hell do you want? That thing became a classic. Lord Jesus, what does hell have to offer that I'm willing to go back there? Now, let me tell you why I believe in prosperity. Because of this scripture. Because I'm a righteous man. And if you're born again and you understand righteousness, you're a righteous person. See, you can be born again and not quite understand some of the things that's already been given to you.
Right.
You know, that's what I mean by understanding righteousness. Some people right now have been saved a long time, but they don't believe in healing. Why wouldn't they? You know how many sick people that is on the earth? How many sick people in your family? How many times you've got sick? Come on. I mean, you know what I'm saying? My Lord. But see, you saved, you're born again, you know that. But you think, well, that's not for, you know, that's not for today. Well, yes, it is for today. You know, same thing with speaking in tongues.
You know, we're not to ask. You know?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you know, Paul. I mean, it's the same way. Well, that's done away with. Well, if it is, answer this question to me. Why do I have it? Why do I pray in the Holy Ghost? Why? You know what I mean? I'm no better than you are. I don't think I have any more faith. You know, thank you, Holy Ghost. I don't have to beg for those things.
Exactly.
Because I am righteous, and so are you, Kathy.
Yeah, you
that's
don't
what
have
it's
to
about.
Beg. And I was just thinking about Jesus' instructions for us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread.
Amen.
So this is something we pray for. We don't beg for it. We ask Amen. God and trust him. But, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. You and I were talking last week, I think it was, about how, you know, over all the years, even before we knew the Lord, we really never went hungry. Mm-mm. Even at that time when we had no money, and I was sharing this at church on Sunday, and how we gathered some pennies together.
Oh, for the macaroni and cheese.
And bought all those boxes of, you will remember the number how much money we actually gathered pennies.
We had $3 in pennies.
Yeah, so we bought several boxes of macaroni and cheese.
10 cents a box.
And that sustained us during that week where we were waiting for
it.
He had a new job, he had switched jobs. And
what happened was the Dallas Federation of Musicians Union attacked me. I didn't know I had to be in the union. Mm-hmm. Listen, I was 20 years old. You know, I just married Kathy. And it takes 6 to 8 weeks to kind of get all the paperwork together to do all that kind of stuff. So all of a sudden, I know if I had to call my dad, he'd say, hey, I didn't marry her. And not that he did dislike Kathy, no, but that's just the way my dad just did. He didn't do those things. So we went and ate them. And we went, and I'll forget that, on Webb Chapel Road, in Dallas, Texas. I remember it like it was yesterday. We walked in there, and you know, we wasn't embarrassed. That lady said, I remember we put all in boxes of macaroni and cheese under there. She said, man, you almost like macaroni and cheese.
We still like it.
And we still like macaroni and cheese. I'm telling you, man. I mean, how many boxes? You know? And I said, yes. I didn't tell her that I was broke, you know, and I paid for it, and we walked out.
Yeah, had a job. You just hadn't got paid yet for it, and we were just right at the end of our money. Remember how you often say sometimes you have the end of the month before...
Yeah, you got too much month at the end of your money. You ever been there? That's a good sermon to preach on.
But regardless, we have never gone hungry.
No. Never have.
Although we probably should fast a little more.
Oh, speak for yourself, pale face.
I'm speaking for you.
Oh, listen to me. Hallelujah. It's all that macaroni and cheese. You know, Kathy is a spaghetti person. I like to watch you eat spaghetti. She got mad at her, so I'm going to tell everybody. Last night,
so what else is new?
She made some pasta. You know, now, if I'm going to eat pasta, I mean, I like it with the sauce. But sometimes I like to just eat plain pasta, a little salt and pepper, maybe little garlic.
Yeah, let's make you look good right now.
Yeah, make me look good. Okay. But old girl over here, she goes,
I know she loves pasta.
Man, so she's bringing my plate. We always kind of eat at the dinner, watch a little television. Or anyway, to make a long story, she brings me mine, and there's a woman in our church makes this, what's she call it, swamp soup?
She calls it swamp soup.
It's some of the best stuff you ever
But it's it's a cheese, nacho cheese, seafood soup kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it's kind of thick.
Spicy. Well,
all of a sudden, I see Kathy in this Mount Vesuvius.
No, it was a hill. It was a mountain.
And to make a long story, she had taken that lady's soup and poured it over that sauce because it's thick enough to be a sauce.
It's very thick. I thin it up just a bit for you for soup.
And I can hear her sucking.
Sauce for me.
I can hear her sucking all
the noodles. I can hear the hallelujah chorus. It was beautiful.
Oh, hallelujah.
It was delicious.
She was like a child. You look at her, she's like, I mean a pound. I mean, a bunch of, I didn't say nothing, you know.
Well, you're saying it now.
I waited for television to say something. But anyway.
You know, I heard someone say.
Wait, I ain't finished yet.
Oh, yes,
then
you
are. Looked at me, you ate everything, and then you got mad at yourself. Why did I eat so
Why
much?
Why did I do that?
And I said, because you wanted it.
I did.
And I can honestly say, when it comes to pasta, I've never seen this woman
begging for pasta. you were begging.
I went
to the stove and actually boiled it and made.
Let's go back to the macaroni and cheese.
You know, I want to say this.
No, yes, go
I
ahead.
I want to say this.
Go.
Go back to the macaroni and cheese.
No, that's the other
I don't know where you're going. But anyway, I was thinking about how I heard someone teach this, a teacher at Andrew Womack's, and he was saying how we had lunch with him or something. You were there at a minister's conference. And he was saying how you really have to be friends with people when you go out to eat with certain people before you actually order spaghetti. Because when you eat it, you are going to make a mess.
Oh,
it's
going to
be all over your mouth.
So, I've never seen a child or a baby that didn't like spaghetti. You can say, I mean, they just love it. And it's a good... I thought the Italians is the one that created that invention, but it was actually the Chinese.
You know some stuff.
I know some stuff. Gloria. I mean, anyway, so...
Get back to the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, so we bought those boxes of macaroni and cheese. Now, watch this. We weren't saved at that time. You weren't saved?
No.
I wasn't saved?
No.
But yet God knew we would become saved.
He's such a merciful God. Well, he doesn't want even the heathen to suffer or
be
hungry.
No, indeed, he doesn't.
Rains on the just and the unjust, it says. He wants people to be blessed.
Yeah, well, when you understand that I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God is not, first thing first, he's not going to forsake no righteous person. But he said he gets no pleasure in the sinner that dies or goes to hell. He wants to bless everyone. Mm-hmm. That's why I never could understand why people don't believe in prosperity. They think poverty is a blessing. Have you ever seen poverty at its worst? Mm. A starving baby? Do you enjoy that?
No.
What's the matter with you? You know what I'm saying? My God, do you enjoy seeing people homeless living under bridges? I mean, have to beg for a dollar to get something to eat that day? That's poverty, ladies and gentlemen. That's a curse. Do you understand that? Now, there are some people who do wrong things with money. I mean, I understand that. And there's always somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater like we said here in America. So when you understand, this is a faith voice saying. He used his faith for it. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And do you know how far he had to run from Saul all the years? Saul tried to kill him living in caves. And one time he ate the showbread.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to tell you something, but God knew what was going on. It was just such a blessing. So we want to talk about that today. See, there's just there's wonderful things in the scripture that a lot of times when written, one verse that I was really shocked at, and I had been preaching for years, and it's Acts chapter 20. Would you go to that Acts chapter 20? Now, I always thought that this particular verse was in the, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. I just knew for sure it wasn't. But it wasn't. When I found out, I was shocked. That's Acts chapter 20. And I want to read Paul talking to these people here in Ephesus. Verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. And so that's me too. I have not done that. Yeah, you see yourself know that these hands have ministered into my necessities and then them that were with me. In other words, he's a worker, and I've always been a worker myself. I've showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, even with your own money. Glory to God. And this is where I want to get to it. Verse 35. And to remember the words of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, for years, I thought that was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Nope. It's not there. So how many other things Jesus said that are not in the Bible?
Yeah, well, John said that if everything would have been recorded that Jesus did and said, uh-huh. He says, I suppose that all the books in the world couldn't contain them all. So there were a lot of things they knew from word of mouth passed down.
Sure.
And in fact, it was recorded here by Paul
right
then, even though this was something that was known, it wasn't revealed in the Gospels, but it was something
yeah.
they knew.
And so it was just such a blessing.
It's God more blessed to give than to receive.
Now, don't that coincide with Psalms 37, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread? If you were hungry, if you were eating, and someone came up, a child, let's say, and they're hungry, wouldn't you give them a piece of bread? Wouldn't you? They don't have to be your baby. You understand what I'm saying? They just want something to eat. And why wouldn't anybody do that? You see what I'm saying? Yet, I'm just amazed that many people sometimes just will not do that. And but I made up my mind. I said, I will preach this gospel, and I won't separate it. I'm going to preach it because it's good news, and you ought to believe in prosperity so you can be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. I wish you'll believe in healing so you could be healed and you don't have to be suffering with sickness and disease because everything named has to bow at the name of Jesus. Do you enjoy seeing somebody going through cancer, chemo, all that kind of, it's just terrible stuff. Plus the amount of money they have to spend. I've seen people lose their homes because of cancer, had to get out of their house because they couldn't pay it. I mean, just taking them to the cleaners. You like that? No. When God said, by his stripes ye were healed, man. I'm going to believe in healing even if I got a sickness in my body. I don't deny it. I deny its right. It doesn't have a right to be here. Well, it's the same way. Poverty doesn't have a right to be at your place. Don't accept that. Start quoting, using your faith voice and say, I'll never see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And it's almost blessed. I know it's blessed, more to bless to give than it is to receive. I said this the other day. I think I'm going to say it again. I'm starting to preach here. I got to watch myself. because it just touches me how much we have that we won't accept. And I mean that sincerely. I mean, my favorite part of a service, whether I'm preaching it or whether I'm listening to somebody, is when they receive the offering. Now, most people think that's the worst part. No, to me, what you want to know what I'm feeling inside when we're giving money? I hear the Lord say, Jesse, you know who I am? Yeah, I'm El Shaddai. I require nothing. I have everything. If it's not there, I create it. Why are you doing that? Because I want to be a blessing to you. It's because of love, you know? How many times I've given you something that wasn't your birthday or anniversary, and you thought, well, it's not my birthday. It's not, it had nothing to do with that. Just wanted to be a blessing. How many times you've done the same thing for me?
Right.
I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I love the offering. But I also understand sowing and reaping, and I know that I'm going to receive a harvest on that. But it's to be able to give someone that doesn't need it. That's God. And that touches his heart. Mm. I said this, and I'll say it again. They say right now that the richest man in the world is Elon Musk. And I mean this sincerely. If God told me to go buy Elon Musk a car, I would. I'd get him a Tesla. That's his company. Why not do that? Why not? If that's what he wanted. Or not. I don't care how much money he has. That has nothing to do with the request that God gave to me. To go do that and to be blessed. One time, and this literally happened, I had a beautiful rifle. Kathy had bought me. I'm telling you, it was gorgeous. And it was a 270 Weatherby laser mark, which on the stock, they cut it with a laser. This thing was gorgeous. It was expensive. And she gave it because she always wanted.
It was a beautiful carving of the wood, the mountains, and some trees, and actually animals, right?
Yeah, I remember it was just flat.
It's a work of art.
Well, I went on a hunting trip, and I'm gonna keep his name private. This man was a person of substance. I mean, you know, he could buy what he wanted. He probably could buy Weatherby. And the Lord spoke to me. Because he had seen it, and everybody was looking at this rifle. This thing was gorgeous.
They thought it was too pretty to bring into the woods.
Yeah, so my God, don't bring this thing into the woods. Yeah, put the
display.
Just look at it. It was just a beautiful rifle.
It was.
But anyway, the Lord spoke to me, and Kathy didn't mind. I said, Kathy, the Lord told me to give this rifle to my friend. So I went to his house, and I brought it. He thought I was bringing it over because he was real good at cleaning rifles, and I wasn't that good at it. He could take the thing apart. It was amazing. And he thought, he said, you want me to clean it? I said, no, I want to give it to you. And it shocked him. Now, this man at that time was probably 65, 70. I was young. I was 40. Yeah, I'd say 65. I said, it was the first gift anyone had ever given him. Can you believe that? That shocked me to no end. He couldn't get. I said, please accept it. It's a blessing. I didn't know it was the first gift the man. And he could have probably bought the company. That was not the issue. I felt so wonderful. Well, I kind of equate that to when I'm in a church service, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's Acts 20, 35. He was feeling what God was feeling. No, Jesse, I can buy this myself. But that you would do that for me. And of course, he's passed now. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time I saw him, he just would thank me. For years afterward. See? And it was such a blessing. Thank God I'll get to see him again in heaven. And then you go back to Psalms 37. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. That is such a wonderful thing. And I believe I am going to do that till Jesus comes to get me in the rapture.
Amen.
Or I go by the way of the grave. What do you think, Kathy?
I love that. And I was reading this commentary on this word, Acts 20, verse 35, about the word give. It says it's a strong, the word means granting, allowing, bestowing, imparting, permitting, placing, offering, presenting, yielding, and paying. And it says it implies giving an object of value.
Praise God.
It gives freely and is unforced. Then it says Acts 20, 35 indicates that the giver takes on the character of Christ, whose nature is to give. Jesus did not say it would be more natural or easier to give than to receive, but that it would be more blessed.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's phenomenal. See, that's what it means. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. What a blessing of the Lord this boardroom chat is. It just blesses me.
You take on the character of God.
Oh, yeah.
And he causes you to desire, or he helps you to be a giver. Not only gives you the desire to, gives you the resources to. The Bible tells us that God provides seed
to the sower.
So God will give you the seed if you desire to give. And when you're obedient, like we read that testimony earlier, you sow it, and then God, that's an opportunity for God to bring blessing to you. Because every time you give, it's an opportunity for your prosperity.
Yeah, as we therefore opportunity, let us do good to all.
Amen.
That's the book of Galatians.
Yes, that's good.
But you know, when you see how these things function and operate, it's just such a blessing. I get so excited when somebody has something they really enjoy. Now, I live in a beautiful home, don't misunderstand, but I went not too long ago, well, I get caught in these time wars, and they had just bought a brand new mobile home. A trailer, call it what you want. I had one time a lady in Florida said, I don't live in a trailer, I live in a mobile home. A trailer is something you drag behind your car. Okay, ma'am. Okay.
You
know. And I thought, well, how'd you get it to that place? You know, but anyway. And I could see they were so proud of their home. I was so happy with them. And of course, they did say, of course, it's nothing compared to what you, I said, yes, it is. I said, what you're feeling right now is the same way I'm feeling. That doesn't make no difference. What's bigger? What's better? Look how much you're enjoying this. And it just blessed me. If I see somebody get a nice vehicle, whether it's brand new or not, and they're so happy to have it, that blesses me. You know, because it's wonderful to see it. Why can't the world be like that? You know what I'm saying? It should be. Anyway, I want to thank all of you once again for partnering with this ministry. Thank you all for the $20,000, giving that $1,000. We're going to get this thing.
Amen.
We're debt free. We've been debt free since 1983. You know what that means? If you've ever given this ministry, not one nickel of what you gave, excuse me, went to pay for a note or interest on something. Now, if you gave $20, the whole $20 went into the ministry. And that's a wonderful thing. So remember this and start quoting it. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And guess what? Not only will you give, you will receive.
Yes.
And you will be blessed beyond your wildest dream. Jesse and Kathy said, we love you. Thank you for watching us. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.